Shall we come to the Lord in prayer together? Dear Father, as we look around us this morning, we see beautiful, wonderful works of art. Things skillfully and painstakingly created by the hands of men and women. This beauty reminds us of you, the one and only creator of all things. You, God, formed us and breathed your spirit into us, beginning with Adam. You, Creator God, are the giver of all things. You have given these artists their abilities. You have given each one of us talents to use as well. Help us to discover them and put them to good use. As thousands of people walk about this city and take in the works of Art Prize, may they give honor and praise back to you, the source of it all, Creator God. It is you, God, who gifts us each next breath. It is you, God, who keeps our hearts beating in a steady rhythm. We give you all praise and glory today as we worship you with a holy reverence. We confess that we fail you often. We sin against you, both deliberately and in subtle, sneaky ways. In order to worship you with a clear conscience, we need to take some time to confess our sins. We've had bad attitudes. We've forgotten to trust your promises. We've put ourselves on the throne as ruler of our own lives. We have refused to give you control of every area of our lives. Lord, help us look deep into our souls now and see clearly our sins. Bring them to mind so we may silently confess them now. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that while we were still sinners, you died for us, and that we have forgiveness from our sins when we open our hearts in confession. And because you have forgiven us, may we in turn work on forgiving one another. Give us hearts that look upon one another with love and compassion. Give us a willingness to love those who are difficult to love. Holy Spirit, convict us to stop conforming to this world. Rather, help us fix our minds on things above, things that will count when this life is over. Urge us to desire change from the inside out so that we will more easily recognize what you want from us. We are thankful for each and every person you appointed to walk into this place this morning, Lord. May those who are spiritually weary find rest and nurturing here. We ask that you bring comfort to those who are mourning. May you bring strength to those who are struggling. We are thankful that we could be a part of the baptism of Benjamin. May he grow up and one day call you his Savior. As we listen to Pastor Henry's message this morning, may it bless our souls and encourage our spirits. Cause it to stay with us through the week and ring in our ears as we go about our tasks. When we look about your world, Father, we see many countries where evil reigns. The fighting in the Middle East continues. The Ebola outbreak in Africa is still spreading and causing death and suffering. Christians are under persecution in many places. Lord, we pray for all those affected. We ask protection for all who are trying to right the wrongs. Inspire the hearts and minds of leaders to want liberty and peace for all. We especially ask for courage for our friend Ruth, who has dedicated her time to helping people in China find you as Lord and Savior. Meet her every need and assure her of your nearness. Father God, may your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And may each of us, through it all, proclaim, it is well with my soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christine, are you here? There she is. A few art prize announcements. Here's Christine.
Hey, this announcement is going to be interactive. You ready? So, who has enjoyed art prize in this space? Pretty amazing, right? All right. So, who of you has hosted at this venue, has volunteered your time to host? Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. There's been about 2,000 or so people that have come into the space, and it's been incredible. Two people are needed at all times to host this venue. For those of you that have hosted, thank you. Please volunteer to host more. We need help. For those of you that have not helped yet, please help. Judy, who's back there, she is organizing all the volunteers. Amazing job. Her and her husband were here a total of 14 hours yesterday. She's been here every day except Friday. She can't continue at this pace. It's just not physically possible. We have to help her. If you've been waiting until you think, oh, when it's a real need, I'll help, this is that time. So please help us out. Immediate needs are from 12 to 3 today. We need two people. From 3 to 6 today, we need two people. Some people called in sick. So please help us. We need help throughout the week. We want to keep these doors open to people to come in and enjoy this space and be able to love and minister with them. We can't do that unless we have people here to host it. So please help us out. That's my urgent plea. The other thing is we have some great events going on. So hopefully you were a part of the sneak peek or the Chalk Up Monroe yesterday. It's been super fun. I wanted to highlight two more events coming up. And I don't need more volunteers, so this is just to come and have fun. So Taste of Monroe North is going to be on Thursday, October 2, from 6 to 8 p.m. It's an incredible chance to go to the restaurants in this neighborhood that you've been wanting to check out but you're not so sure about. So you can go, and it's completely free. You can get a taste for free. Here's the deal, though. I need you to sign up today. So you can see me afterwards. You have to take a one-minute survey. It's super quick and easy, so see me afterwards. We'll get you signed up. You do not want to miss out on that event. The other thing is Kids Art Day. It's next week, Sunday, October 5, from 1 to 5. In this space, we're going to have art projects based on the art here and at the boardwalk. It's going to be an incredible time for your kids. It's also a great chance to invite a neighbor to come into your church. So please come and join us for that. Thank you, and please, please, see Judy to sign up for venues. Thanks.
One of the things we do during Art Prize, the privilege is of meeting some of the artists that display their work in our space. Last week we got to meet Paul Rio. Paul, are you here this morning? Oh, there he is. Pay him back. Okay. We got to talk with Paul via Google Hangout, and that worked seamlessly. This face-to-face is also seamless. So this is direct communication. Please talk to Paul. He has been here over the past couple of days talking with the people who come. I've got to host a couple of times, and he stands here with a group of 4 or 20 people and just talks about these two pieces, talks about Jesus Christ, talks about the Word of the Lord, to all kinds of people who are coming into this space. This is one of the reasons that we do Art Prize as a church, is to let people know about who Jesus is. Paul stands right here and does that hour after hour after hour. You should come see it at work. You should come. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay? Another person that stands here is David. David stands over here. Or he often hangs out along the side, and then he comes up to people who admire his what? Big pile of junk. What is this? David has been staying with us for the past week, so I've gotten to know David a little bit. And it's interesting to watch people come up to its well, this piece right here. A lot of old guys come with their wives, and the wives are all into it. They're looking, and these old guys are like, I'm here at our prize. And they get all about this far out here, and the chairs aren't here. And then they look at this, and he's telling me about this. And all these guys come up, and they say, what is this big pile of junk here? And then he's telling me about this. And as that's happening, a guy walks up and is like, what's this pile of junk? We're standing right here, and this guy comes up right here. So, David, please come up and please tell us about your pile of junk here, would you? All right. You can sit right here. This is David McComber, and this is his pile of junk, all right? So, we're going to talk about this just a little bit.
Okay.
All right. First of all, who's David? Tell everyone here. I've gotten to know David a little bit this past week. He's the guy who lives in my basement.
Yeah.
All right. But beyond that, there's a lot more. Tell a little bit about who David is.
My name is David McComber, and I'm an artist from Cape May, New Jersey. And
eat it like an ice cream cone.
All right.
There you go.
There we go. All right. And so I work full-time as a professional artist. I do a lot of commercial work, murals, painting signs, graphic design, all that stuff. So, it's been a real pleasure to be here at Art Prize and visit with all you folks. And,
How long would you consider yourself an artist?
I've been working full-time as an artist for about 3 years. So, still kind of new to fine arts and painting and all that.
How did you hear about Art Prize, by the way? How did you make it all the way from New Jersey to Grand Rapids?
It's a really great, I think, interesting story. Steve and his family were visiting. I have an art studio that's on a boardwalk that goes out on over the water in Wildwood, New Jersey, which is a place that Steve and his family growing up frequented when they were kids. So they came out and visited last year, and he told me about this amazing event called Art Prize, and I said, okay, cool. That's a year away, so I wrote it on my calendar, April Art Prize, and then submitted and was asked to come out, and so it's been really great.
Okay. You came and you brought this here. Okay. What's going on here? Tell us about It's called It's Well.
Yes.
All right. And so what's the materials used here? Tell us a little bit about the story behind this piece. What's going on here?
Okay. So what we have here is it's called It's Well, and it's based off the hymn It Is Well With My Soul. When sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. And a lot of my work really is kind of revolves around that song. It's a favorite song of mine of just God growing us through trials. You know, we all go through trials. No life goes without trials. But through those trials, God is growing our faith and testing our faith, and we come out on the other side better and stronger people. So this piece here was created from debris that was found after Hurricane Sandy, which was very, devastating to our area and about 100 miles of coastline in New Jersey and New York. So it's a very personal piece. And so after the storm, gathering up all these pieces of wood, inspired to make something, not sure what, but make something. And it was about 5 months later, after, cleanup and stuff had kind of subsided, I was really inspired by the unity that happened during this time. So we had a lot of people from all over the country, and I'd even talked to people who visited, whose family members had come to help with Hurricane Sandy. All these people helping perfect strangers, and you would see on the news, like, I didn't even know my neighbor, and now my neighbor's sleeping in my house, and restaurants that would feed volunteers, and, all this goodness that came out of this time of trial. And so this piece just represents that unity that happened in a time of trial. And so each piece kind of represents individual people and individual stories and lives. They're all coming together to overcome this trial. And, the wave brought destruction, but this wave is kind of showing that there's hope after the destruction.
Dave, what do you hope people take away when they, I'm going to call it a pile of junk, right? When they come and they view It's Well? What do you hope that they experience?
My hope is just that people are encouraged that, you know, we all go through trials and that there's hope in Jesus Christ, that, you know, that we have that hope in Him that no matter how bad life is, we have a hope in eternal life. We have a hope in growing as a better person. We that there is hope, that we can't just wallow in our own sorrows and our own trials and our own suffering, that, you know, that we can help others growing through that. We can and we can have hope in Jesus Christ that we will live with Him in eternity.
David, thanks so much for being here this week. Thanks for putting on your calendar.
Yeah.
And for following through.
Yeah.
I'm glad for that connection.
And I thank you. Yeah. And your one Pastor Amy and Henry John and Isaac and Megan, and we've had a really great time being together and getting to know each other and sleeping in your basement and eating all your cereal
and
milk.
Hey, we cleaned it up. We cleaned it up now. Come on.
Yeah.
It was
a
disaster. It looked like that, but we cleaned it up.
And Steve and his family opening their home to me and inviting me to come to this church and come to Art Prize has just been a real blessing to myself and I think to my artistic career.
Good. Yeah, thanks so much for being here. Yeah, you bet. It's been a pleasure to have David in the basement and around the table when we eat meals together, and it's been just a pleasure to get to know him. He's a fantastic guy. And next time you're out in New Jersey, please look him up and go see his. He's got a big shipping crate that he uses as a studio on the boardwalk. So it's pretty indestructible, the pyramid, but it'll survive. He's going to be around for a little while after the service. Please talk to him because he's going to also head home today. So pray for him as he drives all the way back to New Jersey. He's been here a week. And the calendar, the check boxes on the fridge, his son has been Xing them off each day until Dad comes back home. We're out of check boxes, so he's got to get home by tomorrow morning before he goes to school because he's been missing him. Been FaceTiming a little bit, but it's time for Dad to go home. But please, talk to David. I'm going to turn our attention to God's Word to us. Pray with me. Father, we come before you now. And as we do, as we turn our attention to your word to us this morning, open up our ears, soften our hearts, be at work in the core of who we are in our spirit, Lord, in our soul. Enable us to receive your word to us today. We give this time to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1 today. Joshua chapter 1. For those of you who are visiting, we've been working our way. We've been using this book, Seeking God's Face. It's a daily devotional with prayers and scripture readings. We as a church community committed at the beginning of the year to use this as a guide for personal devotions, but also for our corporate worship gatherings. This book follows the church year, the seasons of the year. We're in growing time right now, the growing season. And during the growing season, the stories that are included are helping to shape and form us as people of God. Right now they've been the stories in like Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and now we're up to Joshua. The great story of the exodus of God's people from Egypt through the wilderness. In that wilderness period, God's people learning what it means to be a people of God, being shaped and formed. They used to be a people of Pharaoh, now they're a people of God. What does that mean? They are so close to the promised land that on just the other side of the river, we begin Joshua chapter 1. Listen to the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. So Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. Moses led God's people from Egypt up until this point for 40 years. Joshua was there, his right-hand man, all alongside. But Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. The Israelites are the people of God. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. We know it as the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, the Lord says to Joshua, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate it. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So people of God, tell me, how can you and I, how can we be strong and courageous in a world that seeks to overcome us? How can we be strong and courageous when the swells of life seek to come over top of us? David built this just for me. Did you know that? He did. Right? It's true. I'm not lying. He did. He added a foot once he saw me. Okay? How do you and I, how do we be strong and courageous in this place when the storms of life seek to overtake us? In our text for today, Joshua is surrounded. In front of him is the Jordan River. Do you remember what's in front? The Promised Land. It's across the river. He can see it. All of God's people can see it. It's right there. What do we remember about the land, that promised land? It's a land flowing with what? With milk and honey. In order to have milk, in order to have honey, you need fertile land. You need plants. Because cows and goats eat plants in order to make milk. And bees need flowers to make honey. It's a land with humongous grapes and figs, the spy said. In front of them is a land that's fertile and productive. It's completely different from the land that's behind them or where they're at, the wilderness. It's a good land. But as you know from our readings in Seeking God's Face, our readings in God's Word, it's also a land filled with giants, with big people, strong armies. It's a land filled with cities with big, thick walls. Cities like Jericho. The land in front of Joshua is also a land that's full of opposition and challenge. Tell me, have any of you who are here this morning, have you ever had opposition or challenge in front of you? Have you ever had to face opposition or challenge? Behind Joshua. Do you remember who's behind Joshua? As he's looking toward that promised land? That's right, it's the Israelites, also known as the people of God. And the Israelites, we've learned from our readings, are this bunch of people who have been living and wandering around in the wilderness for the past 40 years, learning what it means to be a people. What it means to be a people of God. They're a real happy and go-lucky bunch, aren't they? Who loved every minute of the journey. You laugh because you know, right? More accurately, they're a group who's quick to complain, quick to whine, quick to bemoan their circumstances. Again and again, they reminisce about the good old days back in Egypt, those days of slavery and oppression. Do you remember their mantra? If only we were back in Egypt, back as slaves in Egypt. They're a fickle group that's prone to wander away from God's leading and His provision. Joshua has a formidable foe in front, and he's got a group of people behind him. He's kind of surrounded, isn't he? So go with me. Go with me to that place where Joshua is, where he's standing in our text for today. Stand in his shoes for a moment. Can you see the land ahead? Can you see where they're going? Can you see all those people behind? Thousands and thousands of them. Restless, anxious, complaining, bickering. People who are ready to turn on you at any moment. What do you feel as you stand in his shoes, surrounded by what's ahead, but also by what's behind? What do you feel as you embrace those challenging opportunities both in front and behind? One feeling that I had as I tried to place myself in his shoes was feeling a little bit overwhelmed, being a little bit in over my head, kind of like a wave coming over top. How am I going to do this? It brought me to one of the things that I love to do, the place between two swells. One of the things that I love to do is go swimming in Lake Michigan when the surf is up. When the small craft advisories come out and the red flags go up the pole, one of my favorite things to do is head first right into the water. I like to go right beyond the swim buoys, if you've ever been at Grand Haven or Holland State Park, just beyond the swim buoys. Right, just beyond where they're breaking, but you can kind of ride the swells. I'm taller than the average man, so it's about 6 feet deep at that point. But then the swells will take you up about 12 to 14 feet, and then you ride it back down. But when you're at the bottom, touching on the sand, you can only see water on both sides. When I put myself in Joshua's shoes, it felt like one swell ahead, one swell behind. In this place that God commissions Joshua to be the next leader, with the promised land in front and the people behind. Moses, he says, has died. Now you're the next leader. You're going to be the leader of my people. What does Joshua need? What do you think he needs in this spot? What does he need as he faces what's ahead and he brings along what's behind? What does he need? There are two things that the Lord wants Joshua to have as the leader of his people. Do you remember what they are? The Lord refers to them three times in our text for today. And when the Lord says something three times, it's important that we pay attention, because the repetition is for emphasis and to make sure that it gets in our heads and into our hearts. What phrase does the Lord repeat again and again? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. The two things that the Lord wants Joshua to have as he becomes the leader of God's people who are about to enter this new land is strength and courage. Strength and courage. Strength and courage. Why? Why strength and courage? Because of the challenges and the opposition that he's going to face, leading the people who are behind him and the challenges and the opposition ahead. Joshua is going to need strength and courage to face the swells of life that he's going to encounter as the leader of God's people. He's going to find himself in that spot. Therefore, he needs strength and courage. But now, notice with me for a moment. Notice with me the source of this strength and courage that the Lord desires for Joshua. This command that the Lord gives is not some pep talk or motivational speech here. The Lord's not commanding him to try harder or to work harder or to pump a little bit more iron here. No, notice with me that the strength and courage that the Lord desires Joshua to have comes as the result of what the Lord is going to give. It comes as the result of the Lord's presence with him. It comes as a result of his meditating on the law and the instruction and the will of God both day and night. As he says, be strong and courageous, he also reminds us that I'm going to give you this land. This is something that I am going to do in your midst. Joshua's strength and courage needs to be rooted in what the Lord is doing and what he is going to give and provide. As he's saying, be strong and courageous, the Lord says, as I was with Moses, so I will now be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go. Joshua's strength and his courage needs to be rooted in the presence of God in his midst. As he's saying, be strong and courageous, he also says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn away. Do not turn to the right or to the left. But keep that book of the law. Keep my instruction always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Keep it on your mind. Allow it to sink in your heart. Joshua's strength and courage comes as a result of his obedience. Comes as a result of meditating on God's will and his instruction. God doesn't want him to be strong and courageous on his own. Rather, the Lord wants him to be strong and courageous as a result of his connection to him. As a result of his relationship with him. As a result of his dependence upon him. One of the things I realized this week as I studied this story is that the Apostle Paul desires the same thing for the church. For you and for me who sit here this morning. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Ephesians 6. He says, finally, be strong where? In the Lord. Be strong, he says, in the Lord. And in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Notice with me here. Notice with me again the source of the strength. Paul wants the church to be strong in what? in the Lord and in His mighty power. Paul wants you and I to find our strength and our courage in something that is more powerful than ourselves, something that's more powerful than the things that seek to come and to engulf us, more powerful than the swells that come through our lives. Paul wants our courage and our strength to be in God's truth. Paul wants our courage and strength to be in the righteousness that is ours because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. The one who has overcome sin and death. That's where He wants our strength to be, in that righteousness. Paul wants our strength and our courage to be rooted in our faith in the living God. He wants it to be rooted in the salvation that is ours in Jesus. He wants it to be rooted in the truth, in the Word of God. Why? Because in order to overcome the powers and the authorities, those things that seek to swamp us and create havoc, we need something that's greater. Greater than the waves that want to crash over us. Earlier, I told you that I like to swim in the big waves on Lake Michigan. And one of the things that I've learned, and learned the hard way, is that I'm not strong enough to do that on my own. One time when I was much younger and did not have kids, I was out there by myself. Right? Or have a wife who can talk common sense into me before I go out. Right? I thought I was invincible. I thought I was stronger. I could touch. I'm a good swimmer. I could do it. Until the one wave caught me. And then it came crashing over my head and it brought the tall man down. And it spun him over and over and over. And after you spin underwater the fifth time, you don't know which way is up. Right? And I was underwater for about, 30 seconds or so. The only thing I had going for me at that point was my younger brother growing up as a kid. We had a pool in our backyard, and we used to wrestle all the time. He would hold me underwater, I would hold him underwater, so I learned how to hold my breath and not panic when I was underwater. Had I not had that, I don't know if the story would have ended like it did. I was tossed and turned and tossed and turned until finally I hit the sandbar close to shore and boom, it spit me out. I learned at that point that I am not strong enough on my own to overcome the swells of life. So now, when I go out there, what do I wear? I'm all caught in the shoot. Put this on. We all know what this is. What does this do? It keeps me on top of the water. So I can float. If I go under, it pops me back up. It tells me where the source of strength is. Which way is up. I know a lot of you are going through difficult times right now. I do. You tell me about it. You tell me about the swells that are coming in your life. Right? And they're going to come. They do. They do, they do, they do. They come at work. Right? They come at home. They come at school. And we're not strong enough. We're not strong enough on our own to be able to overcome those swells. We try and do it on our own. We're going to tumble. We're going to turn. We're going to be tossed. We're going to be turned. We need something that's more powerful in order for it to be well within our souls. And the good news for us today, right? The good news of the gospel, the good news of our story, is that we have that thing. That thing is available to us. And what is it? It's the strength and the courage that come to us when we put on something greater, something stronger. When we put our our life jacket on. And our life jacket is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our life jacket is the salvation that Jesus offers us. Our life jacket is the Word of God. It's His truth. When those lies and all these things come to overwhelm us, our life jacket is the resurrection. Right? It's the resurrection of Jesus, who says, I am greater than sin, I am greater than death. These things that seek to swamp you and push you down, I've overcome. What do we need to do? We just need to receive it. We need to put it on. We need to put it on. Joshua, he's taking charge. He's put in charge of this massive operation. What does he need? He needs a life jacket. And his life jacket is his relationship with God. It's his meditation on His will. It's to open up in his heart and his life to the One who promises to be with him, who promises to give him certain things, and who promises never to leave him nor forsake him. Joshua 1 invites us to examine, right? To examine our source of strength this morning. Whom or what are we turning to stand against the swells of life? To whom or what are we turning to overcome the evil powers that buffet our hearts and our lives? On whom or what are we dependent as we live our lives each day? In whom or what are we taking our stand? In order for it to be well with our souls, God reminds us this morning that our strength and our courage needs to be in Him. It needs to be in Him. This past week I had a conversation with someone who's going through a really difficult time. And they're dealing with some circumstances that are causing all kinds of swells and are buffeting them intensely right now. And as we were talking, they said something that stood out to me. They said this. They said, I don't know how people go through such things, how people survive such things without a faith in God. I don't know how people go through and survive such things without a faith in God. That's what they said. And my response to them was, I don't know either. I don't know. Without something greater, without something stronger, I don't know how you survive. You'd think you'd just be crushed. You'd be drowned. The good news for the gospel today is that we don't have to be drowned. We don't have to be overcome. You and I, we are not alone. God is, He's with us. He's with us. On account of His power, on account of His presence in this place, and no matter where you go, His presence, on account of His promises, it can be well with our souls when the swells of life surround us. Listen again to what the Lord says. What He said to Joshua, and He says to you and me again today, He says, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Pray with me. Father in heaven, in response to your word to us this morning, I pray for strength and courage. I pray for strength and courage that comes from your power, from your presence with us, and from your promises to and for us. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who may have heard this good news for the very first time, that you are with us wherever we go. I pray that you will continue to reveal yourself and make yourself known to them. I pray that you will do the same for us who have heard it and need to be reminded of it again and again and again. Thanks for telling us three times, be strong, courageous, be strong, courageous, be strong, courageous. we need to hear it again and again and again. Lord, I pray that we will all make room. We will make room for your strength. We will make room for your courage in our hearts and our lives today. Lord, I know that there are some here who are discouraged. There's got to be. People who are caught this morning in the swells of life and they're being tossed to and fro. So we pray for them this morning. And I invite you to pray right now. Pray for anyone you know who's being swamped, who's being bombarded, whose the swells of life are just overtaking them. Pray for them right now. Pray that it would be well with their soul. Pray that they will find their strength and their courage in the Lord and what He offers. Spirit of God, anoint all of us this morning with boldness and with strength and with courage that comes from a deep faith in your power and your presence and your promise for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. All God's people said, Amen.